Renate?
Yes.
Do you know what's the best part of starting my own hair salon is?
Oh.
Everything is possible. Right?
Right? Welcome to the HairPod. My name is Renate.
And my name is Ann-Marit.
Well, Ann-Marit, how's your week been?
My online booking is now up, and my first clients have signed in my online booking, and I am so happy, really happy.
Good.
And what about you?
Well, now I'm sitting in my car, so excited to meet the person we are going to talk with today. So my life right now is all about hair.
I can see that.
So we have a guest today. Yeah. Today's guest is a well-known hairdresser. He works for Sassoon and trains hairdressers all over the world. Welcome back, Mark Hayes. So, Ahoy. Mark, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I am a one company person. So I started with Sassoon in 1977 as an assistant, as a junior, as they were known then. And and I found immediately, even though there was no hairdressing background in my family and no particular reason for me to do hairdressing, I found that it encapsulated all of the things that I was interested in. You know, it was about obviously hair design, it was about art, it was about architecture, it was about fashion and style, music, all of the things that I loved at school, but I didn't think they could lead you to a career. They were just things I liked doing. And I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, you know, I've somehow fell into this career that involves everything I love, you know. And I think when I started cutting hair, which, you know, wasn't for the first sort of 6 months or so, she had to spend time sweeping the floor and making coffee and handing shampoo, washing people's hair. But what I found was amazing is that I loved the process of cutting hair. But more than that, I mean, that was lovely because you're creating something. And I think even when I was a child, my earliest memories were of making things. You know, when I remember sitting at our kitchen table in my family house when I was little, with my mum was kind of, you know, doing stuff around me. And I was always making things, like from plasticine. Do you have plasticine, like clay, modeling clay, that? So so the cutting thing was very much part, you know, like that. It was very much like that process. But what I found I loved more, as well as that, is when I finish cutting someone's hair, or to be honest, making someone a coffee or sweeping the floor, or I found that I loved doing things super well, you know, like not necessarily better than anybody else, but as well as I possibly could do it. And I think that has kind of stayed with me, you know, all the way through my career. And it was kind of weird because I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was my parents or just me. And I think because hairdressing, you interact with other people in a very, you know, very intimate way. When you're cutting someone's hair, you're physically touching someone, you know, so kind of it's a lovely thing to be able to do. And I think that plus the process of creation super excited me. So yeah, so 45 years at Sassoon. And nowadays I spend my time with the creative team, working with them, developing the collections. And I have a lovely time, really, really kind of working with interesting people and having the opportunity to develop their careers now as much as, you know, as much as my own. But really, it's about me developing the creative team and continually harnessing this incredible creative force to continually come up with kind of cool ideas for hair. So
Are you still hungry to be better hairdresser? To be a better hairdresser?
Oh yeah. Because if you don't, I mean a better hairdresser. I'm interested in hair, and I love, you know, I love photography. I love the way hair looks in photographs. So I take the pictures now for Sassoon as well. So that's kind of interesting too. I'm still interested in cutting people's hair. And when I do it, my work is kind of, you know, my own work, I suppose, is sort of a sort of pared down, quite timeless kind of style. You know, it's not gimmicky, it's not trendy. It's very, very simple. So I kind of try and continually perfect that look.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing is, the team are always coming up with new things. So I kind of look at what they do and I think, wow, you know, that looks amazing. How did you do that? And they'll tell me how they did it. And then what I'll do, I'll absorb that into my work and think, right, how could I use that in the way that I work with hair? Because that's one of the beautiful things about Sassoon. Even though we have a very specific way of working with hair in cutting and in colouring, but in cutting, you know, primarily, I think everyone in the team brings their own aesthetic to it. You know, so we don't all do the same thing. We all come from the same house, if you like, but we all have our own individual way of interpreting that, you know, which is kind of cool. So yes, I do.
Can I ask you how many people who are in your team and what will it take to get a part of your team?
How many people in my team? Well, there's probably in the somewhere, you've asked me a question now, I should know that, but it's somewhere between, I think it's somewhere, but internationally, Germany, US and the UK included, I would say it's somewhere in the region of 20 to 30 creative directors in each, you know, in the academies and the salons. And how do you get to become a creative director in Sassoon? You have to work really hard, essentially. You know, people often ask me, how do you get to do what you do? And, you know, I want to be successful. What do you have to do to become successful? You know, and my answer is always the same. You just have to be prepared to work very, very hard for a very long time. There's no quick fix. There's no shortcut. There's no trick. You know, you've just got to be prepared to put the time, the effort, the energy and the hours in and dedicate yourself to it. You know, there's no such thing as an overnight success. You know, when people say, oh my God, you know, they're an overnight success. I remember when Lady Gaga became super popular and all of a sudden she was everywhere and everyone was like, wow, you know, she's come from nowhere. But really she'd spent years being very unsuccessful and then all of a sudden it just clicked. So I think anyone who becomes successful at anything has spent a lot of time putting the effort and the energy and the dedication into it. You know, when I was an assistant, I lost all my friends because they were all going out and partying and I was studying night school, three nights a week, no money. but I kind of loved, you know, so it's very lonely sometimes, I think. You know, because you're dedicating yourself to something and you're excluding everything else. So you have to be prepared to work really hard. And once you get there, that's just the beginning, really. You know, that's not the end. You've got to keep working to, you know, it's like if you imagine a train going along a track, you jump on the train and if you get off, the train goes and you get left behind. So you have to keep, you know, you have to keep going. So it's just working hard. And I think you have, you know, working hard in and of itself, it can be quite arduous. So I think you have to enjoy it. You know, I think you have to have a passion for it. Otherwise it's not, you know, it's more difficult. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's more difficult. And I'm lucky. I found something through complete fluke that I love doing. So it's, I've worked hard, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. So it's kind of makes it easier.
You really have to love your work
If you can. If you can. I mean, you know, a lot of people work at jobs they don't particularly like, which makes it super hard. You know, I know that I'm very, very lucky to have found something, you know, that that I love doing. And interestingly, my role over the years, you know, over 45 years now, it's kind of it's changed. You know, at the beginning, you're developing yourself. You know, well, at the beginning, you're learning everything. You know, you're doing your, in a sense, you're doing your primary learning, learning how to cut hair, learning how to, you know, learning, and also learning how to operate in a salon, because that's an interesting kind of side of it too, that not really many people think about. So there's that. So primary learning, then you start to develop your own individual style. And I would say that happens after between 5 to 10 years, you start to develop your own look, if you like, of what, the way you work with hair. And then from then on in, from 10 years onwards, it's really about how successful you want to be after that. You know, there's nothing to say that, you know, after 10 years, you then get to the next level where you just then start developing on top of that, and also developing other people, you know, working as a team, which is a massive part of being successful as a head professional. You have to be able to work in a team.
Your guys on Sassoon, they are colorists, they're cutting, they're, you have, like you said, do you think you have to have one thing to be successful, or can you do it all?
No, I mean, I couldn't. I think it depends. It depends on. It's interesting. It's a very interesting question. I cut hair because I love the process. You know, for me, cutting is you start with a blank canvas, and you gradually create to the finished look. Whereas coloring is a completely different thing. You put it all on, and then you sit and wait, and then you see the end, which, yeah, you know, just, it never interested me as a process. Can you be successful by doing both? Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. There's so many hairdressers out there that do, and there's so many hairdressers out there that make a success of, you know, cutting and editorial work, or coloring and editorial work. So it's not, you know, so it's not impossible to do. Excuse me. I think it's, to a certain extent, I think it's how you start. You get it.
But if you do both, the color can define the cutting. And if you don't like the coloring, someone else can color your cut to define special areas.
Yeah.
You think that?
I mean, yes. I think. Do you mean coloring your own work, or cutting your own colors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, it doesn't. I think there are benefits to both, to be honest. You know, I love the fact of cutting a haircut. I like working with another person who specializes in that area, and I say to them, I might say to them, right, I've got this idea, I've, you know, blah blah blah, and it might be a visual reference or words, or, and they kind of take that and understand where I'm coming from, and then kind of add to it, if you like. I'm a great believer in synergistic working, you know, that 1 + 1 = 3,
yeah,
because you come up with something better than you would if you did it yourself, you know. So I think there's that's the advantage, that working with somebody else will open up opportunities that you may not have been aware of if you did it all yourself. That's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have a question about the photography. You take the pictures yourself. When did that happen?
When did it happen? I don't really, to be honest, I don't really like talking about it, because I find it such a cliche, hairdressers and photographers. But photography, to be honest, photography was something I've always been interested in. Even when I was young, I loved photographs. I loved the process of photography. And I started taking pictures when I was a teacher, so way back in the 80s or something. Never got taught, just started doing it. And I always had a camera with me. And then, obviously, I've been doing hair pictures since... I mean, my first picture for Sassoon was 1981. So what's that, 42 years ago? So I've been on shoots. I wasn't doing photos then, I was just doing the hair. But I've been working on photographic shoots for 40 odd years. So I kind of thought that at one point, I thought to myself, you know what, I love photography and I'd love to capture what we do as a team. So I did a course. This is in, to answer your question, it was in 2018 or 19. And I'd been talking about it for about 5 years, about doing it, you know. And I kind of, you know, and I just thought, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. At least I've tried it. And I took the pictures and I was like, wow, you know, actually. And I, to be honest, as a person, I'm very much, what's the word? I'm very positive in the sense that I think if you want to do something badly enough, you can achieve anything. You know, I always say that to my children. If you want something badly enough and you're prepared to work at it, it'll happen. You know, don't think there's nothing you can't do. So I sort of thought to myself, well, how difficult can it be? You know, I've been on shoots for years and I've seen photographers, good and bad and indifferent. And how hard can it be? I know what a picture is supposed to look like. I don't know how to look, the only thing that bothered me was the technical side of it, you know, the lighting and the and all that. You know, I was thinking, God, if, but then I went to college and studied for lighting and photography a few years ago. And then I just did it. I did a test and then I sort of said, right, I'll do the pictures. And so I've been doing that since, 2019 was my first shoot. And I've done them all since then.
Wow. You got it all.
Well, I mean, it's what it's about. It's about learning. You know, I love, if you ask me what's the single thing that I love the most about living, about life, it's about learning stuff. You know, I love, if I don't know something, that's why I love like Google and things like that. I'm always, or Wikipedia, I'm always on those things. You know, if I kind of think, what was that? You know, anything. I mean, anything. My wife, it drives my wife mad. I'll be sit watching a TV show or a movie or something. And Tracy, my wife, she'll be like, what's that person? I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. And I'll, you know, I have to know the answer to everything, which makes me infuriating to live with, but I just love it. So it's about learning, you know, it's about learning new things. And what I've found is, and it's partly pragmatic, you know, because the team are doing so many cool things so often. And I look at what they do work-wise and I think, God, I'd love to photograph that. But, you know, to get a photographer and a makeup artist and blah, blah, it's expensive, you know, every time you want to do something. So I sort of thought, you know what, if I do it, it costs nothing. So let's do it. You know, so we can now do a shoot pretty much whenever we want.
That's fantastic.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's absolutely cool.
When you look back at your first photographs to now, have you grown a lot?
I've become a lot more capable. I mean, the first shoot, I was terrified that, I don't know, the camera, you know, well, when you take the picture, you're just thinking, please let it look okay. Please let it look okay. And everyone, because obviously it's digital now, so everyone's looking at the screen. Like, you can't just take the pictures on film and then get them developed and everyone's gone and you see them a week or so later. You see them there and then. And so you're taking a picture and you've got about 10 people staring at the screen.
Oh,
so it's about pressure. But I mean, to be honest, my teacher at the college that I went to, he came and helped me with the lighting on the first few shoots that I did. He came to be my lighting assistant, which was so nice of him, which helped. But I think, you know, I think with, like with everything else, it's about keeping it simple. You know, it's about keeping everything. And my teacher said a beautiful thing. He said, you know, photography is just about, all it is light. That's all it is. It's just about light. And he said, if you're in a studio, when you set up a studio, you set it up one light at a time. So you put one light up, you take a picture, and then you see if you like that, and then you move on to the next, if you're going to use it. I mean, very often I just shoot with one light. I don't use any others, just one. So I think it's about having a technique to doing something. Everything is about technique, because I think then once you've got the technique down of like, I want to light it like this, so how would I do that? I need this light here and whatever, whatever. And then you can be creative once you've got the technique, got the process down. Have I grown as a photographer? I think so. I think now I'm more confident and I'm prepared to try different things. You know, like, for example, the shoots that we're doing next year, I can't tell you exactly what they're going to look like, but the shoots we're doing next year are going to be very, very different to what I've done so far. Am I developing my own style? Not really. I sort of look at what other, you know, I love the work of like Peter Lindbergh. You know, I love his photographs are super beautiful. I love the work of Paolo Reversi, that's got a more painterly, you know, so I'm a bit like David Bowie in the sense that he used to look at what other people were doing and collect things and interpret it. You know, he always used to say that, you know, he used to, if he liked the look of something, he'd take it and put it into his work. So that's what I do. That's what I do. But, you know, it's like another journey now. You know, hair for me is still obviously super important, but taking pictures of hair for me, it is something new and exciting to do, you know. And also I can teach other hairdressers, you know, the members of the team that maybe haven't done as many shoots as I have, how to do hair for pictures, because doing hair for pictures is so different to doing hair in real life, you know. And I always say to the team, when you look at a haircut with your eyes, you've got two eyes and a brain, and you will fill in the gaps that aren't there. So what you're looking at, whereas the camera won't do that. The camera's got one eye, a lens, and no, it just takes a picture of what it sees. It's just recording it. So, you know, so it's your eye, when you look at someone, your eyes kind of wrap around them and turn them into a 3D image. A camera won't do that. So you've got to, it's completely different. So I can teach them as well. I can teach them how to do hair for pictures as well, which is cool.
Can the rest of the world be taught in that in photography? Is that the next thing on Sosun?
For me to do? I'd love to do that. I've done a couple of things I think it could be part of a course that I do. Yeah, we're talking about it. We're talking about doing it.
Yeah.
Doing a course with me where you can cut hair and then take pictures with me at the end of it, or I'll do the pictures and they do the hair for the pictures. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'm that. But yeah, why not? I mean, we've got lots of cool things we're doing. You know, lots of cool new courses that we're doing for next year. So maybe that will be one of it. Maybe that will be 2024. We'll do it for then.
We are looking forward to it.
Does your team get educated from you to take good pictures to the SoMe canals?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they're all the creative team. You know, what's great about working with the team is that they're sort of cool, liberated people. You know, they're super creative, obviously. And I think they, as I said earlier, they all have their own particular style that they bring to what they do. So I think they all, you know, they all take pretty good. I'm sure they could probably do it better than me with a bit. They could probably do it, you know. So yeah, they're all pretty good. They're all pretty good.
The Sassoon studio was moved a few years ago.
Well, it's closed. Let's be honest.
Oh. Yeah. So what happened?
Well, yeah, what happened? Well, unfortunately, what happened was COVID happened.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We had no exactly. We had this incredible location, but unfortunately, due to one thing and another, we had to move. We had to move from that location, and we're in temporary spaces right now in our salons in London. We're still doing education, but hopefully, very soon, like imminently, we are going to announce a new academy location. I can't tell you where it is. But it's a super, if it comes off, it's a super exciting place. And, you know, and I think that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to a new location. We're also introducing a couple of new courses that your audience may be interested in. The first one of those is, there's three actually. ABC Plus is something new. And that is for... In a sense, what we're trying to do with that is to show how to create salon-oriented wearable hair that takes our iconic ABC series to the next level. So it's to create, you know, because I think a lot of hairdressers now want to learn things that they can use the following day in their salon. You know, fantasy stuff is great and inspiration and all that sort of stuff, you know, it's lovely. But I think the most valuable things are tools you can learn that you can use the next day. So the ABC Plus is the first thing. And that's starting very, very, very early in 2023. And then we've got, and that's in cut and color. So you can study either cut or color or both. So there's three different ways you can study that. Then we have an educator's course. So we're teaching people how to teach. Because obviously lots of hairdressers want to, want to teach or work as a platform artist or even just teach their own teams in a better way. And the educator's course is basically about that. And we take people through demonstration styles and techniques, step-by-step teaching, and also how to deliver a compelling presentation. So those are two new things. And then also we've got a new course called the Heritage Course, which I'm so excited about. This is about, obviously Sassoon has got a heritage going right the way back to 1954. You know, our first salon opened in 1954 in Bond Street. And since then we've created iconic hair, especially in the first sort of 10, 20 years of the company. And people always say, oh, you know, the 5-point and the Nancy Kwan and the asymmetric geometric and all these are iconic looks. So we sort of thought that wouldn't it be amazing to hold a course where you did those haircuts, you know, because I've been lucky enough to have spoken to, you know, Vidal himself, and Christopher Brooker, who was the international, and Roger Thompson, who all developed those amazing looks. And so we know how to do them. So we can share that with other hairdressers. So if you wanted to, you can come to Sassoon and just immerse yourself in those incredible, iconic looks.
Wow, that's so exciting.
I know. So as much as we had to move from our old location, sometimes... when you're in a position of adversity, you come up with cool, creative things. Mm. And we're going to have a new location soon. And we've also got super new education ideas as well. And we also, for 2024, we might have a photography course too.
Yeah.
So 2 years sorted out.
That's super exciting.
Could you describe a good day at work?
A good day? Oh, I think...
Or is it every day?
Well, I try to. I think to be honest, a good day at work is being involved in creating new things, or new projects that involve lots of different people, team, and lots of different things like shoots, collection launches, online events, social media, that sort of stuff. I think anything that involves working with other people and develop and developing something new. You know, I think that's always the most, for me, that's the most exciting part of a project, the beginning bit, getting it all together and creating it. Once it's created, I'm normally moved on to the next thing then, you know what I mean? Once you've done it, you don't want to, you know, Vidal Sassoon, whenever I used to talk to him, and I used to talk about an idea that I had or whatever, he'd always say to me, do it and move on, do it and move on. You know, and he meant like, get it done and move on to the next thing. Get it done and move on to the next thing. And I always think of that. I've been super lucky to work with all these amazing people that have given me such amazing advice about stuff. So I go into work every day armed with all these thoughts and knowledge that I've been given by other people. You know, it's kind of amazing. I'm lucky.
Are in a creative process, are you just thinking about that or are you thinking about 10 other things? Can you focus on just one? How do you think?
Yeah, yes, I can. I'm used to it, to be honest. I think you have to be able to. You can't, I mean, when I can focus on just one thing, you know, I've always been very good at kind of, and again, this infuriates my wife when she talks to me and I'm doing something, she'll say, and I'll look up and I'm like, I'm sorry, did you? And she's like, I've been talking to you for 10 minutes and you haven't listened to a word I've said. So I'm kind of in it. I'm in it. When I'm in it, I'm in it. However, I've normally got, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 things happening at once that are all at different stages. And again, you've got to be very decisive, I think. You know, you can't be, and I know when I'm being a bit, you know, procrastinating or kind of thinking of, you need to give yourself time to think about stuff. You can't, you know, I think that's important. But at the end of the day, you have to be decisive and you have to do it and move on, you know, make a decision, move on, and try and make the most, obviously the best informed decision you can make, but make a decision and move on. You know, so yeah, there's normally 10 or 15 or however many things going on so soon all the time. And, you know, I'm lucky, I'm experienced now, you know, I've been doing it for 45 years. So it serves me well in the sense that I know that I've got that to fall back on. However, I always want to hear from the team to see if they've got something new they can add to it. Otherwise, we'll just be doing the same thing, which isn't good. You know what I mean? You've got to try and do something new. So I think I always try and be open to ideas from people, always. You know, when I became International Creative Director in 2005, I decided that the way I operate is to give more people more creative opportunities more of the time. That's my kind of thing. And every day that I go into work, I think, right, how can I do that? How can I give more people more creative? Because I enjoyed it. You know, when I was young, you know, starting out at Sassoon, I was given creative opportunities. And it's so exciting and so interesting and challenging. And it makes, you know, it makes it an interesting place to be. You know, so I think those are the things that I do.
What do you think is the next big hair trend?
The next big hair trend? It's a good question. I think hair trends as such don't exist in the same way that they did maybe 15, 20 years ago. And I think there's a good reason for that. It's the internet. You know, I think, you know, obviously, the internet was, the internet has changed everything. You know, obviously it was commercialized in 1997, wasn't it? I think something like that. So since then, information has been so much more freely available. And it was interesting. I was thinking about this recently, actually. I was watching Tokyo Fashion Week the other day, and I suddenly stopped and thought, oh, my goodness, how ridiculous is this? I'm watching a show that's happened in Tokyo like 2 minutes ago, and I'm sitting watching, looking at it, you know. And I kind of thought, God, you know, that's what, because people ask me a lot about, you know, trends and stuff. And I thought that's why there are so many millions of trends now. You know, there's millions of things going on that everyone's aware of, if they choose to be. You know, you can go online in any part of the world pretty much and watch anything from any other part of the world. So I think the idea of one thing being a trend and everyone following it hasn't happened for years now. But however, what I feel about hair is that I love the idea of super clean, crafted hair at any length that is cut and colored with superb craftsmanship that can be incorporated into the wearer's lifestyle so they can wear it in a very casual or dressed up way. That's what I think is cool about hair. And the important thing about that is that it can be any cut, any length, as long as it works with that individual person. You know, that's the whole idea of individuality is it's almost overused now, but it's so true. You know, it's so true. And I think I always teach young hairdressers now. When I teach young hairdressers, I say to them that if you want to be successful, yes, you've got to be able to cut and color hair. Of course you have. You know, you can't get away with not being able to do that. But as important as that is the ability to communicate, because that's what sets great hairdressers apart. You know, good hairdressers can cut and color hair and they can do their thing, but great hairdressers capture the imagination of the person who's sat in the chair, whoever they are, you know, whatever type of person they are, they capture their imagination and take them on a journey. That's what great hairdressers do, you know, whatever they're doing. And I think the communication is what suitability is about, not how tall someone is or what shape their face is. That's not suitability. That's kind of suitability, but not really. Suitability is who the person is, not what they look like. And that's the key to it. If you want to really create a haircut or color for somebody, you have to be able to understand them as a person. You have to be able to communicate with them very, very quickly and make decisions very quickly as you're doing a consultation, a couple of minutes, you know, which is kind of magical in a way when you think about it. You know, it's crazy to be able to do that.
And so true.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It absolutely is. You know, I've seen hairdressers who, and to me, that's always been the most important thing about doing hair. You know, going right back to when we started this conversation, the most important thing for me when I was cutting someone's hair, and still is that at the end of it, they turn around and they say, thanks, Mark, I love it. You know, whatever and whoever it is, whether it's on stage, on a hair show, or in the salon, thanks, Mark, I love it. And that's always been the most important thing because it's such a lovely feeling, you know. And I think if you care about that, which I do, I totally care about it, then you will be successful because your heart's in the right place. If you just want to show the world how great you are, you know, you know, you can do great haircuts, but the person who's going to wear it might think, I hate this. You know, I'd much rather someone love what I do and it be more, you know, more of a classic look than try and push someone into something they don't want. I'd never do that. I'd never, ever do that. You know, which is why the communication is so important. You've got to understand the person, because when you do something they like, they'll always wear it so much more beautifully. Mm. You know, so that's so the key.
Can you share something funny from your career?
I knew you were going to ask that. Something funny from my career. I mean, my career, if I tried to share with you all the funny things that have happened to me, I mean, I suppose all right, this is really embarrassing. I once did a hair show in Spain, in Valencia. It was to about 2,000 Spanish hairdressers. And I decided, for some reason, I don't know why, I decided backstage that I was going to say hello to to the audience, to speak to the audience in Spanish. That's what I was going to do. So on stage I went, on my own, on stage I went, and I walked up to the front of the stage and said to everyone, "Buongiorno." Obviously, silence from the audience. Just sat and looked at me, and I was like, oh, I don't think my microphone's obviously not working. Yes, it is. So I said it again, "Buongiorno." By this time, the interpreter had caught up with me, and she said, "Buenos dias." And I was like, I was talking Italian. I tried for the rest of the show to pretend I was Italian. But and the interpreter, the lady who was the interpreter on the show, still works with Sassoon now. And every time we see each other, we're like, oh my God, do you remember? Yes, yes.
That's so funny.
Oh my goodness. It was an hour and a half show. An hour and a half. I was like, why did you do that? Never do that again.
Oh no.
But I think the thing is, that's it. That's part, you know, it's part and parcel of a career, isn't it? You have think as much as you try, as much as you try and be professional, and you know, I always say to the team, you know, you have to kind of be human. Do you know what I mean? You have to be able to laugh at yourself in a way. I mean, I'm quite a serious person a lot of the time. However, I always try and see the funny side of a situation, whatever it is. I try and have fun, you know. Unless you're going to have fun doing it, what's the point, you know?
At least yeah. They know now that you can speak Italian. So that's good.
That's the only word I can say, though.
Yeah, that's positive.
I tell you what, it makes me kind of go all hot when I think about it. You know what I mean? God, what embarrassing. It was the horror of standing there and then suddenly realizing I was speaking in Italian. And I was like, oh my God. Terrible. Let's move on.
Yeah. We have some fixed questions for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for hairdressers who wants to be up and coming stars?
I think you have to be prepared to totally immerse yourself in it. Totally. I think you have to be prepared to work very, very hard for a very long time. I think you have to enjoy the journey. So enjoy it, you know, don't enjoy. And when I say that, I mean, enjoy where you are at that moment in time. You know, obviously you want to get somewhere, but enjoy each part of the process of getting there, you know, so it's not just, you know, be prepared to learn all the time and be humble about it. You know, don't sort of think that just because you can do something, there's always going to be someone who can do stuff better than you, you know, always. So don't try and think that you're, you know, I think be humble is a nice thing to do.
So agree. What inspires you?
What inspires me? Opportunity to learn something new, I think, to be honest. If I had to think, I mean, obviously lots of things inspire me, you know, art and architecture and photography, we've already spoken about those. If I'm not working, I'm very often at a gallery somewhere, looking at something interesting. And to be honest, sometimes when I'm at galleries, it's not necessarily about the art that's there, although very often it is. It's about having the time to, because galleries normally are quite quiet places, you know. So it's about having the time just to kind of have a moment to just think, you know, just kind of clear your mind in a way. Because they're normally big white spaces, which is lovely. So it's kind of, so I think that, I think I love the David Bowie quote. I love the David Bowie quote where he says that what inspires him, if you want to do something creative, which I always do, you have to go a little bit further into the water where your feet can't quite touch the bottom. And if you operate in that area, you're just about in the right place to do something a little bit more exciting. So I think that's the best place to be creative. So I think opportunity to learn something new inspire me.
It's a great tip. If you could change anything about the hairdressing industry, what would that be?
If I could change anything about the hairdressing industry, I think I would tell hairdressers to stop trivializing the industry, and also the public to stop trivializing our industry, because I think we do ourselves a disservice. I think we don't value the industry as much as we should. I think over and above everything else, I think we almost sometimes reinforce the public's opinion that hairdressing is something you do if you can't do anything else, which is not true at all. You know, I've met some incredible business people. I've met some incredible artists, loads of incredible artists over my career. Super successful entrepreneurs, you know, everybody from Vidal all the way down. And it's a very interesting, challenging, rewarding career, you know, and a fabulous industry that makes huge amounts of money for the economies that they're in. So I think what I would change is the way we trivialize the industry and the way it's trivialized by outside people.
Where can the listeners find you on social media?
I'm a bit rubbish with social media, to be honest. So I wish I was better at it. In fact, you know what? 2023 might be the year that I get together with social media properly, because I do love it. I'm on Instagram at Mark H. Sassoon. And I'm on LinkedIn, although I'm never on it, but I'm on it, and Mark Hayes. And also, obviously, at Sassoon-academy.com. We're there too. Those are the three places.
We are really looking forward to see you on social media.
Thank you. Don't hold your breath. No, I will. I will try.
And your photograph, of course.
I've got that in my mind.
Thank you so much for being on the HairPod. I'm so inspired about talking to you for an hour.
Thank you. No, it's been lovely. It's been lovely seeing you girls again. Maybe we'll catch up next year. We'll do a yearly event, shall we? A yearly event. And congratulations on 200 as well. 200 interviews. Good Lord. Well done.
Hope to talk to you before 300.
Nice. Yeah. A yearly event. We will love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's do it.
And please give us stars on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok. And we talk to you next week. Bye.
Take care.